Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. Police say a man found dead in a Watertown trailer home over the weekend was the victim of a recent burglary. Watertown Police Detective Nick Ammon says an autopsy shows 62-year-old William Keith Foster's death was accidental.
So as a result of a head injury sustained by a fall is what the autopsy showed, and then the evidence on the scene was consistent with Foster sustaining a fall and striking his head.
But that conclusion does not end this investigation. Ammon says within a day or two of the discovery of Foster's body in that trailer home in the 400 block of 10th Street Southeast, the house was burglarized.
During the nighttime hours between August 6th and August 7th, somebody entered the residence and stole numerous items out of the residence. They would have had to cross police line tape and break through police evidence tape, as that scene was still under our control. They stole a large flat-screen television, several tools, air compressor, and some tobacco products from the residence.
Ammon tells KWAT News how police discovered there had been a burglary.
When we process the scene, photographs are some of our best evidence. And so when we processed the scene when Mr. Foster was discovered, we obviously had photos. We had officers doing routine checks on the scene because it was still under our control. And one of the officers discovered that entry had been made into the residence between one of those spot checks. And so we were able to go in there and compare the photos from before and after to see that obviously there was items that were there when we were called on August 5th and when we left on August 5th and secured the scene, and then when we returned on August 7th when we discovered the burglary, that those items are no longer there.
Ammon says a substantial cash reward is being offered for information that leads to an arrest and conviction of the burglar or burglars. Funeral services for William Keith Foster will be held Tuesday, August 15th, at the Furnace Funeral Home Chapel in Clark. Authorities say a passenger jet landed safely in western Nebraska after losing power in one of its two engines during a flight to Watertown. Aerodynamics Incorporated says Flight 217, carrying 46 passengers and three crew members, set down at the Western Nebraska Regional Airport in Scotts Bluff just after 6:30 last night, 70 minutes after its Denver takeoff. The plane was headed for Pier and then Watertown. ADI Chief Operating Officer Mickey Bowman says all of the passengers used ground transportation to continue their journeys. He says the airplane remains at the Scotts Bluff Airport for repairs. The National Weather Service says areas just north of Watertown saw quarter to golf ball sized hail last night from isolated storms that moved through just after 6:30. Forecaster Ryan Vipond says hail reports came in from the Dakota Sioux Casino area just north of Waverly and 4 miles northwest of Rawville.
Yeah, we had some strong storms develop, late in the afternoon, early evening hours with a cold front passage, and some of those storms did produce some larger size hail, some hail up to golf ball size hail, mainly north of the Watertown area, but in Connington County we saw some of the bigger hail reports around the Rawville area, along with some wind as well that was in the 50 to 60 mile per hour range, northwest of the Rawville area, and then also in the Waverly area also saw some hail that was about an inch in diameter as well, just a mile north of Waverly.
In Watertown itself, there was no hail and, in fact, very little rain. Vipon says these were small, isolated storms that produced the hail. When the Watertown City Council met for their work session on Monday night, a portion of that meeting was spent discussing who is in charge of placing items on City Council meeting agendas. Councilman Mike Danforth says it's a gray area in the Home Rule Charter that should be cleared up, and he believes ultimately it should be the mayor who is in charge of setting the agenda.
I really would like, and maybe it's just because I'm just very black and white when it comes to something like this, this language does not need to be obscure like this. Mm-hmm. It should specifically state who it is. Who is the owner, who is the person responsible for the agenda? I would like to know that. We go around and we, over the last month, we look at the discussions we've had, and we're sitting here and we still don't know who it is. Why can't we say who it is? Now, being responsible for gathering the item, making sure that it gets noticed, okay, that's a different thing than who is ultimately responsible for it. And to me, when the mayor presides, the mayor should have responsibility for that.
The issue came to light at a recent meeting when an agenda item included a salary cut for the mayor. There were questions about how and by whom that item was placed on the agenda. The pay cut was ultimately rejected by the council on a unanimous vote. Tim Sheehan is the new president and CEO of the Watertown Area Chamber of Commerce. The appointment was announced today. Sheehan has spent 7 years working as a sales rep for Watertown Radio. Before that, he spent 25 years working for Schwann's Foods in Marshall, Minnesota. Tammy Meyer is the new interim superintendent of the Sisseton School District for the upcoming school year. She's been serving as the middle school principal. The superintendent's job opened up earlier this month following the resignation of Wally Leapart, who had been on the job for less than a year. South Dakota Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels is the featured speaker today at Catoda Prairie Healthcare System's 50th anniversary celebration. Catoda Prairie operates a 25-bed hospital in Sisseton, along with a clinic there. They also operate clinics in Rossalt and Browns Valley and Herman, Minnesota. Today's anniversary celebration includes food, music, and inflatable games for kids. It's being held on the west side of the Catoda Prairie campus in Sisseton. It runs until 8 p.m. Michael speaks at 5 o'clock today when past and present board members will be recognized. The North Dakota Ag Department is coordinating a program that includes South Dakota and Montana to help hay producers impacted by the drought. It's a hay lottery in each of the three states where donated hay will be available. The South Dakota Ag Department's Jody Bouchard says the North Dakota Ag Department is collecting the hay, which will be held at the NDSU campus in Fargo. She says hay lottery drawings will be held in each state.
They are collecting hay, and all the hay will be put on the NDSU campus there in Fargo. And so we will collect hay, they will collect hay, and the first week in September, we will, all three states will get a little bit of the hay, and we'll individually do a drawing with our applicant.
The application deadline is August 31st. And drought conditions in South Dakota have improved, although some spotty rain over the last week did not do enough to worsen conditions in some areas. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor map shows 77% of South Dakota is in some stage of drought. That's down from 82% last week. That's a look at what's happening. From the KWAT Newsroom, I'm Mike Tanner.